Michael Gerhardt is a professor of constitutional law at the College of Law at William & Mary in Williamsburg, Virginia. He's joining us today from New Orleans. Professor Gerhardt, I wonder, what strikes you as most remarkable in this bipartisan agreement on trial rules that we've heard about today?
I think the most remarkable thing is what you've just said, which is that it was bipartisan. I think I'm greatly struck by the fact that the senators, all 100 of them, saw as the single most important thing that they wanted to do from the outset was to do something that was unanimous, to set out on a bipartisan path. It might not obviously be bipartisan all the way down the road, but I think it's very important to them and perhaps even heartening that they want everyone to understand that they're going to be proceeding differently than the House, that they're going to try and have an even-handed process that's fair to everyone, the House as well as to the President, and that it's a process that the American people can have confidence in.
Is there any precedent, though, for a trial in which you start out, first you swear in the jurors, then you have opening statements, and you say, after that, then we'll figure out what the rules are, whether there'll be any witnesses or not?
I think it's probably fair to say there might be two precedents for this in American history. One involved William Blunt, a senator who was the subject of the first impeachment in American history, and the other was William Belknap, President Grant's Secretary of War. In both those cases, the Senate convened as a court of impeachment, but then immediately considered some preliminary questions or jurisdictional questions. In Blunt's case, those questions basically precluded the Senate from actually conducting a trial, and in Belknap's case, the Senate basically resolved those questions in such a way that it allowed the Senate to proceed with a trial against Belknap, who was eventually acquitted, even though a majority of senators voted to convict him.
But here, faced with the very contentious question of whether this trial should have witnesses or not, the Senate came up with the rather congressional approach, which was to say, well, we'll take that up the week after next.
Yes, they obviously are not eager to sort of embrace this thing fully. They understand that the evidence here, if they do sort of try and bring it before them live, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be quite sordid. It's obviously going to be just simply different than anything else the Senate's ever actually been exposed to in terms of an impeachment trial. But at the same time, they understand that it's their duty to proceed. And so I think the weightiness of this is clearly evident in everything they say and everything they do.
I want to ask you about something that Senator Byron Dorgan, Democrat of North Dakota, said today. He said there needn't be any witnesses now because the very people who say there must be witnesses, the House managers, felt no need for them when they were hearing the issues of impeachment in committee in the House. And he said there's no difference in the burden of proof. It's not like a grand jury where there's a lesser burden of proof than there is in a criminal trial. It's the same burden of proof. What is the truth there? Is it understood what the burden of proof is when you vote to remove as opposed to voting to impeach?
I think the general understanding before now has been at least prior to the House's vote on President Clinton, that the burden of proof is the same in the House and the Senate, that people historically have understood before now that the House vote really is no different in terms of the consequences. That's one reason why we've had so few impeachments in American history. I think the idea that the House is nothing more than a grand jury or that something like probable cause is enough to justify an impeachment is really just ahistorical. It's the very first time we've ever seen that sort of come to the fore is really this last December.
Well, Michael Gerhardt, thank you very much for talking with us once again.
Thank you.
Professor Gerhardt teaches constitutional law at the College of William & Mary. He spoke to us today, though, from New Orleans.